But here in Mark chapter 2, we see that there's an event that takes place, and a lot of us realize that there are times in the life of Jesus that certain events take place, and there are a number of circumstances that happen, and there's a sequence of events that take place in this event that hinder these men from doing what they want to do. Okay? If you haven't noticed, life is full of obstacles, isn't it? You may be trying to do the right thing, and I use this quite often because it's a good illustration, but the fact that the disciples were doing what Jesus told them to do, he told them to get in the boat and go to the other side, and what happened? They ran into a storm. What? I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I'm running into a storm? Yeah, it happens that way sometimes. In fact, more times than not, because the winds, the Bible says that about the disciples, said the winds were contrary to them. I want you to know that the winds of this world will always be contrary to us when we're trying to do things God's way. Okay? Don't expect the winds to blow you in the right direction if you're trying to please God. Okay, because it doesn't work that way. The devil's going to fight you. The world's going to fight you. The flesh is going to fight you. And what we need to remember is if you're trying to do something and you're not meeting any resistance, you better double check and make sure that you're doing things God's way. Because the devil will fight you. Ask me how I know. But what we see here in this particular passage is there's some obstacles. There's four men that are trying to do something special for their friend, and they're carrying him to Jesus, but there's some obstacles they have to overcome. So point number one is obstacles. Let's go ahead and read a few verses here. We're going to read probably the first seven verses in Mark chapter 7, or chapter 2. Let's stand and honor the Word of God. And we see that Jesus is going back to Capernaum. Was his home base, basically, when he was in the ministry. It says, starting with verse 1, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy, and what a blessing it is to know that there are ways around the obstacles. And Lord, I just pray for you just to help us. And Lord, we want you to be glorified. Lord, there are so many things that we want to try to do. And we want to please you. And we want to try to bring people to Christ. And Lord, our desire is for you to help us. Because we know it can't happen any other way. We need your help. We need your power. We need you. Your word clearly says, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. Let the name of Jesus receive glory and honor and praise. And keep the preacher out of the way and in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage and it says clearly that Jesus was in the house. It turns out that I don't know whether they had the criers like they did in the early years of our country, but they had people, apparently they were running and people were saying, what's going on? Jesus is over here. Oh, okay, I'm going too. And a lot of people gathered around, so much so that it was a house, and what happened was it was so crowded that the people coming in couldn't get everybody in. And then you see these four, and it says in verse number three, it says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Palsy means that he couldn't walk. They had to be carried. And what we see is the fact that this man here, he had some special friends. He had some mighty men. Amen? I've got me some mighty men here at the church that helped me. But guess what? This guy here, he had some friends. And what they did, they decided they were going to bring him to Jesus. They believed that Jesus could make a difference. They believed that the only thing they had to do is to bring their friend to Jesus. And all of a sudden, number one, there's an obstacle. Obstacles. He can't get in the door. And they've made a commitment they were going to do. And by the way, it's quite a commitment. Because what they did is they put their life on hold and said, we're going to carry him. We don't know how far they carried him. We don't know how heavy he was. Hopefully he didn't weigh as much as I do. But the truth is, they were carrying him and they said, we've got to get him to Jesus. Jesus can make the difference. But number one, they had obstacles. What were the obstacles? Well, number one, they couldn't get in the house. But all those people, they must understand. Have you ever seen people when they're wanting to go somewhere, they wouldn't run over you, would they? In a heartbeat. In fact, it's almost like somebody's paying them to run over you. But the truth is, there were obstacles. Some of the obstacles were simply the fact that they had something they wanted to do with their life, and they decided, I'm going to put my life on hold. I'm going to put my desires on hold. I don't know whether they had jobs, businesses, or whatever, family issues, whatever. They decided that this was important enough to put their life on hold to take their friend to Jesus. But also, they were overwhelmed. Hey, we've made this commitment. How are we going to get him in the door? How are we going to get him to Jesus? There's no way. And they were probably overwhelmed with the circumstances. You ever been that way? I've been overwhelmed. Sharon gets overwhelmed. Just living with me to get her overwhelmed. But the truth is, we need to realize that certain things in life overwhelm us. And you can't handle it. I can't handle it. You can't handle it without the Lord's help. Jesus says, without me ye can do nothing in John 15:5. And if we get our mind wrapped around the fact that the only reason our heart beats is because he lets it beat, then all of a sudden we'll go to him for just about anything. And when we do that, you're well on your way of staying out of unnecessary problems. But they were overwhelmed. Not only were there obstacles, but they were overwhelmed. But I like this point. They were overcomers. They had a bulldog tenacity. I like that. Sometimes that's how I describe myself. It used to be I was a bulldog towards the wrong things, okay? Sharon will tell you, I went through life, and our early life, I was all caught up on football. I had the football digest, and I could quote off any kind of statistics you want and this, that, and the other. Then for a while it was Civil War, and I'm still a Civil War buff. You can blame that on my parents because they took us to places like Gettysburg and places like that when I was young. And I remember in eighth grade I was making C's and D's in American history. We got to the Civil War, I was making straight A's. Sharon, one of the things that I did with Sharon, and Bill probably remember it, is one of the things when we were driving up to Baltimore to see my grandparents, there's a lot of battlefields between here and Baltimore. You hear me? We've been through a bunch of them. But the truth is, I've been hard-headed about certain things. But it took a while. But the Lord helped me get hard-headed about His things. And these men here, they had made a commitment to their friend that they were not going to quit till they got him to Jesus. And what they did is they sat there and looked at it and said, "We've got to find a way. I'm not going back home. We're not taking him back home. We're going to find a way." So they start scheming. They said, "We're going to overcome this thing." I want to tell you something. And I use this lesson a lot of times with the college students. I don't know whether Ryan's heard it before, but I know Jasmine has. She's been in a couple of my classes. And you can measure somebody's love for Jesus by how much it costs, what it takes to stop them. Stop them from serving Him. If you are completely committed to doing things for God, nothing's going to stop you. With what's been going on with my legs, one of the things that I've been doing is I've been writing more. I've been sitting at the computer more. You say, what are you writing? Well, I wrote two syllabus for two classes at the college already. Right now I'm in the process of putting together a collection of the paragraphs that you read in our bulletins. I'm putting them all together from, get this now, I've had one in ever since September 2009, every week. And I'm putting a collection of those together. I'm looking at putting them in a book form. They're almost like, and I'm kind of looking at the possibility of calling it a diary of a church plant. Because it's basically a breakdown of encouraging thoughts, almost like a devotion, but also updates on what took place that week in the life of the church. And I'm going to be doing it right on through for Solid Rock Baptist Church, which was 3.5 years. And I'm putting them together for Bible Baptist Church as well. I've had two people this week tell me, "You know, what's going on with your legs? The Lord may want you to focus on writing anyway." That's not what I wanted to hear. But I'm not saying they're wrong either. Everything happens for a reason. God let this happen for a reason. Does He correct it? I don't know. All I know is that whatever He has for me, I'm going to make the adjustments, the suitable adjustments, and keep on working for Him. There are obstacles that you face, that I face. Guess what? We've got to have that bulldog tenacity. I use that, my brother had a bulldog, and one of the things that you could do is he would actually latch on to something, and you could not get him to let go. You and I need that kind of tenacity in the fact that we grab hold of the will of God and just absolutely refuse to let go. No matter what comes our way, no matter what happens, because, and I've said this to the students, if there's anything that'll stop you from serving the Lord, eventually the devil will find it. I like these guys because they had that bulldog tenacity and they were overcomers. And they said, we're going to find a way around this. So what did they do? Well, we can't go through. If they couldn't have got through the roof, which is how they went in, wouldn't it surprise me if they had not dug a tunnel underneath the wall and come in the side? Can't you see the people falling through the tunnel coming down? But the truth is, they decided, and this is point number four, They opened up that roof. And they found a way. Now I'm saying all that to say this. You and I've got loved ones that we need to find a way to get to Jesus. Somehow, some way. They need your help. They need my help. They need friends with a bulldog tenacity that'll get them saved, that'll bring them to Jesus. Even if they don't want to go, we need to try to find a way, because we know what's going to happen if they don't. And, you know, they're... One of the things I like about these guys is the fact that they found a way. It seemed like a roadblock in front of them. And it may feel like that sometimes to you. There's a roadblock. I can't get through. Go around. I can't go around. Go on top. Go underneath. Whatever you got to do. But the key is, we cannot. It's too important for us to quit. It's too important. These guys refuse to turn back. They refuse to say, no, it's just too hard. I got news for you. You got to keep plugging on. If you got to get a barricade to go through the wall or to knock a door down, and I'm using that facetiously a little bit, but I want us to remember what's at stake. Our loved ones without Jesus are going to hell, a place of torment for eternity. And if they haven't called on Jesus, if they're not saved, if they haven't been born again, or if somebody here hasn't been born again, you're on your way to that lake of fire, and you don't have to go. Jesus has already paid the price. But I look at this particular passage, and one of the things that we see is the fact that Jesus was amazed. And I guess one of the questions that I always had here was the fact that this Jesus was amazed. It says, look at verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I got a question. Can people see your faith? I got news for you. Faith that people don't notice, isn't much of a faith. People need to know what we believe. What's going on in America, there's no way that the things that are going on in America could have gone on in America if everybody that claims to be a Christian stood up and said, I'm a Christian, we're not going to do that. We've got way too many people that say, oh, I love Jesus. Oh, how much I love Jesus. Hey, and then they vote for abortion? Really? Or they think, homosexuality is all right. Guess what? No, no, no. Either, if you love Jesus, you'll go by the book. If you don't, if you love Jesus and you don't go by the book, you're a hypocrite. You're, the love's really not there. Because what we're supposed to do as Christians, he died on the cross for us. And if he died for us, what he loves, we should love. And what he wants, we should want. And if we don't, he's not the problem, we are. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this, and if, to our visitors, I'm giving you, I'm probably a little late to let you know now that you're not in a politically correct church, but the truth is we're going to be a scripturally correct church. We're going to do it God's way. I'm going to tell it just like it is. And the truth, I don't have the right to change the message. My job is to preach the book, the whole counsel of God. I don't hate people that are sinners. I hate sin. I hate the deception. I hate the fact that children are being taught about global warming when there's no such thing. You want to talk about global warming? Read 2 Peter chapter 3. There's global warming coming. It says it's going, all the elements are going to be burned up with fire, with fervent heat. I hate that the kids are being taught evolution. Why are they being taught evolution? Because they don't want to teach them about God. And that's the only other option, is teach them about God or teach them that we all came from a cosmic birth 40 billion years ago. Stupid stuff. Now, I'm saying all that, I want to get back to my lesson, but I want you to understand, we as Christians need to stand up against the garbage that's going on in our world. In October, the first Sunday in October, every year, since we've been in Bartow, this church is almost 9 years old. We've been right out here in front of wherever the church was at the time. And we hold up our signs against abortion, letting people know that we're against it because God's against it. We don't have a right to be for something if God's against it. And we don't have a right to be against something if God's for it. And these guys here, they had that bulldog tenacity. They didn't care what people thought. We ought not care about what people think either. We ought to care more about what God thinks and doing things God's way than what the world thinks. Because the world's going to mess your head up. You don't think so? Look at what's going on in Washington. There's a lot of messed up heads there. But I want to bring out one more point. And look at what it says in verse 6. I'll read 5 for context's sake. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, oh my goodness, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. So not only did they have obstacles, not only were they overwhelmed, Not only were they overcomers, not only did they open the roof, but they had opposition. You do things for God, expect opposition. Expect people to be against you. Why was it that Cain killed Abel? Abel didn't do anything to Cain. I believe, personally believe, it had to do with the fact that Abel gave God the right kind of sacrifice. And Cain didn't want to. And then Cain, all of a sudden, he decides to get mad at Abel because he thinks Abel made him look bad. I got news for you. There are going to be people that want to do wrong in this world. And because you want to do right, they're going to think you're making them look bad. I got news for you. All they've got to do is do it right just like we do. Cain, all he had to do was do right just like Abel did. They make themselves look bad. And then they blame us because they want to have somebody else to blame. They're sure not going to blame themselves. What we need to do is to remember. You serve Jesus, the devil's going to oppose you. He's got people that'll oppose you. So we ought not be surprised when it happens. When you knock a door, Brother Myron, everybody comes up, "Oh, I'm glad you're here. They don't want to shake your hand." No, doesn't work that way. Ryan and Jasmine have run into that. Aaron's run into that. I've run into that. Anytime you go to knock doors, anytime you hand out a tract, sometimes people, "Oh, I don't want that." What we need to do is to remember. I've entitled the message, "Find a Way." The devil's going to try to throw a roadblock up. But what we need to do is find a way. Find a way to get our loved ones to Christ. Find a way that God... Hey, let me ask you this. Bible says something about, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there?
No.
He can do anything?
No.
Then he can find a way?
No.
He can help you find a way? Who loves your loved ones? Who loves your lost friends and family more than you do? Jesus does. What we need to remember, when we compromise with the world, when we go along with what the world says, when we do things the world wants done, because they're... What's going on in our world today, and I know what they're really doing is trying to whip us up in shape. What's going on in the schools is not teaching, it's indoctrination. I was a school bus driver. I went to some of those special meetings trips that they took them to. I didn't like it. While I was there, I passed out tracts. But the truth is, the world needs Christians that have got a bulldog tenacity. Your loved ones, my loved ones, they need somebody that cares enough for their soul not to quit. God will help you find a way. That's what we need to do. These men found a way. They had to think outside the box, didn't they? Find a way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, I thank you for giving us an opportunity for you to hear the message. And Lord, I thank you for the faith of these five men I believe it was all five of them. The four couldn't carry the one if he didn't want to go. And Lord, I thank you that there's a way. The devil will get on our shoulder and say, there's no way your loved one's going to get saved. And you've got to get in the devil's face and nose to nose with him and say, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find a way to get him, get her, get them saved, to get them to Jesus. Lord, we ask you to move in the invitation. And Lord, I pray for you just to give each one of us a burden for those that we really want to see saved. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, if we would all stand and turn our hymnals to page 3, hymnal 3, Jesus Paid It All.
The altar's open. You have a decision, you want something to pray about. They said there's going to be some vittles out there, and I appreciate everybody being here, and I appreciate y'all celebrating with us. We weren't expecting it, but we're glad you're here, and I'm going to ask Brother Myron to dismiss us and pray for the food as well.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for each and every one that's come out this morning, Lord. We thank you for the visitors. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that the Word of God was preached here this morning, Lord, that to realize that these men had a bulldog in them, that they were so stubborn, they would not quit. And I believe that our pastor is just like that, Lord. We thank you so much for our pastor and his wife. Lord, we thank you that they will not quit till this church is built to overcapacity or until you come back. Lord, we thank you so much for everything you do. Lord, I pray that you will bless the refreshments now, Lord, as we go partake. We thank you, Lord, for the anniversary of Pastor and Sharon. Lord, we thank you so much for everything you do for us. Thank you for your love and your blessings. And all these things we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't see how she did it. 45